Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with John Marshall. John's the Assistant Administrator for Management in the U.S. Agency for International Development. Joining us in our conversation is Patty Fisher.
John, you mentioned that in addition to being the Assistant Administrator for Management, you're also responsible for the CIO role in technology. Can you tell us how you've addressed IT challenges at AID?
Well, there certainly are a number of IT challenges at USAID, but we have some very, very good people who are doing a lot of good work, and I must say I inherited a pretty well-functioning organization. The new challenges in this administration, though, are those associated with the president's management agenda, particularly the e-government reforms from OMB, which really want to jumpstart and rapidly move in more transformational ways into using the Internet as a business driver. Along with that are a number of reforms intended to improve the way we manage IT and to ensure that we're strategic and have risks well identified and don't make wasteful investments. We are making great strides to comply with the federal enterprise architecture requirements, and that's developing a blueprint really for how your IT maps to the needs of your business. And it's a way it's a very complex subject, but it's a way of better managing your IT investments so you maximize your value and reduce risk and don't duplicate systems. The capital investment planning and capital planning and investment control process is also a reform that's been underway where we've had a CPIC process in place before, but we're upgrading it, and it's all about making sure that your investment decisions are actively managed by a high-level executive steering committee representing the interests of the entire agency and not just the IT shop. So we've got structures in place now to ensure that that we manage our investment decisions are much more businesslike than before. We're also participating in a number of the government-wide e-government projects, which are leveraging investments over a number of agencies who have similar needs, and again, as a way of eliminating wasteful agency-specific investments, encouraging the agencies all to invest together in joint projects that serve all of their needs. And another area, finally, is in IT security enhancements. We have a tremendous amount of activity, again, as an international agency with some high security requirements to make sure that our computer systems worldwide, our email systems, and all of our databases are well secured. So those are the areas where we're focusing most of our attention, and we've made a whole lot of progress there. And I must say OMB and the other oversight agencies have been very, very pleased by the amount of progress they've seen from us recently.
You're also responsible for financial management. What are the challenges you're facing in an effort to improve financial management?
Well, we've made tremendous improvement also in financial management in the last few years. The two biggest priorities are finally achieving and then maintaining a clean audit opinion so that our financial statements are certified by our auditors and our inspector general as being valid and sound. Also, developing a new worldwide modernized financial management system. Those are really the two biggest priorities. And I must say we've made a tremendous amount of progress recently. As recently, I think, as 2 years ago, the audit of our fiscal year 2000 statements we received. There are five statements in our financial statements, and we weren't able to receive an auditor's opinion on any of the five statements. Well, following the 2001 audit, we finally got qualified opinions on three of the five. And this year, after the 2002 statements were submitted, we received unqualified opinions on four out of the five and a qualified opinion on the fifth. And so that's just tremendous improvement. In the last couple of years, we were on OMB's list both the last 2 years of among the most improved agencies. We also have deployed a couple of years ago, 2000, a new commercial off-the-shelf financial system in Washington headquarters. And that's been one reason the audit results are improving, that we now have a modernized system that's doing a lot better job. Our next challenge is to deploy that system around the world. And we're just planning now and putting together and getting together our financing to move forward with that. And we hope to get that completed over the course of the next couple of years.
Performance budgeting is another component of the president's management's agenda. How is AID dealing with the problem of creating reliable performance measures for all of its programs?
That's a very challenging question, Patty. As you know, we're working with the State Department on a joint strategic plan, and I think State and USAID are particularly challenged in this area because we have far-reaching objectives in for diplomacy, diplomatic objectives, and development humanitarian objectives. And it's kind of some of our programs, particularly in USAID, tend to be controversial. Some of them have squishy objectives. It's really hard to determine what are the outcomes. How do you measure, for example, the value of U.S. foreign assistance to the U.S.? How do you measure the value of diplomacy? You know, those are some of the questions that we're trying to address. And the way we're getting at this, the ideal, in an ideal world, we would have real performance results that would inform our budget decisions as we move forward. I'm not sure we'll ever become completely performance-based or performance-driven in our decision-making. The best that we think we can become is performance-informed. And so we are capturing data about our performance and about our results. We are thinking about that. Those are being plugged into our decision-making up front, our budgeting process. But I'm not sure we'll ever be, you know, completely performance-driven. I would say one new development, though, the Millennium Challenge Account is a new program that the president has proposed, which proposes a $5 billion increase in foreign assistance. And the whole notion of the MCA is to reward countries that are performing, that are doing the right things, that are implementing reforms towards market economies, towards improving their governance structures, towards respect for human rights and the rule of law. And the good performing countries will be the ones that receive the benefits of financing through the Millennium Challenge Account. And those principles of competition and rewarding high performers are ones that we also in USAID are using increasingly in our decision making.
Even though it's hard to come up with measures, has the process of working through the measures yielded the benefits that I think people imagine? As you were describing just how difficult it is to identify those measures, I sort of wondered about the value of the process.
Yeah, and that's also a good question. It's very, very challenging, as I said, to do that in our kinds of programs. Humanitarian assistance, you know, we do save lives. We do have some measures of lives saved. In our health related programs, we do show that we've achieved health incomes, the reduction in the mother to child HIV transmission rate, and reduced pregnancy rates, and number of health objectives. Economic development objectives, you know, in specific countries, there are some project specific benefits that can be quantified, but how do you roll that back up and say what's the value to the United States of seeing these outcomes achieved in these foreign countries? That's where it gets a little tough. And then the other part is that given that so many of our programs and our decisions, frankly, are not ours to make. They are legislated by Congress in earmarks and mandates, and we don't have a whole lot of discretion as to how we spend our money. And so in those cases, you wonder, you know, if you don't have discretion, does it really matter whether you measure the results or not?
John, in terms of becoming or aiming at becoming a more performance-informed agency, do some of the systems that you mentioned earlier that you've rolled out at headquarters and will, I assume, roll out globally facilitate capturing that information and using that information for decision purposes?
Yeah, certainly our new accounting system is a key component of that. Ultimately, we'd like to capture much more accurate and timely information from the accounting system. We hope someday to combine with the new accounting system a new procurement system, and so that would capture very important information on from those business operations. We need to capture that. We need also to complete the picture, the performance and results information, which could come from another set of databases. A lot of this information right now comes up from the field in a very labor-intensive reporting process, and so as we get modernized systems in place that can capture from multiple databases, a number of different pieces of data that show a complete picture of our program, we'll be in better shape. But you know, that's, I think, going to be a few years down the line before we're as fully performance informed as we can be.
One of the areas of the president's management agenda is competitive sourcing. So I'm curious how that's evolving at USAID.
We're starting to get off the mark in competitive sourcing. We're a little slow. When the administrator arrived a couple of years ago, launched his reorganization, he made some commitments that the reorganization would not result in any reductions in force, largely due to the sensitivities of all of the rifts we'd had in the 1990s. Now, competitive sourcing is not intended to produce rifts. but it's a possible result. It's competitive sourcing, properly understood, is about improving performance of a function, which is commercial in nature, to test whether a government-managed delivery is as effective as a commercially managed delivery of the same service. And so it's a test which is intended to force the government to become more efficient, not necessarily to result in outsourcing, as oftentimes it's been perceived. So we are now taking steps with the State Department. They've also been a little bit slow on this one, but we're approaching this in a collaborative way with the State Department. We have there's a steering committee that is looking at, I'm a member of the State Department's Executive Steering Committee on Competitive Sourcing. We're also looking at, we have a steering committee set up within USAID that's looking at competitive sourcing, and we're starting to look for those kinds of opportunities. But it's a hard sell, and also in an agency like USAID, where most of our activity is actually performed for us by contractors in the field. USAID is not in the business of delivering our health, humanitarian, and economic development services through U.S. government employees. We are contract managers, and we deliver our business through contracts and through grants to nonprofit organizations, private voluntary organizations, and commercial contractors. Our entire delivery system, if you look at it this way, has already been outsourced. So there aren't a whole lot of opportunities remaining in the structure in Washington that could be outsourced. But those that do remain, we think it's appropriate. It's a presidential management agenda objective to put them to the market test and, again, prove how effective they are. And those that can be improved internally, keep them in the government. Those that could be better performed by the private sector, we'll look at private sector delivery.
Interesting. It's a good stopping point. Come back in a few minutes as we continue talking about management with John Marshall of USAID. This is the Business of Government Hour.